Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Turkey Day. Give me a follow at Dan Day Radio. Yes, it is Turkey Day Eve. Hopefully you're fasting, at least when it comes to food. I know a lot of people probably aren't fasting when it comes to the drink tonight. The party has already started, so let this be the official kickoff to your Thanksgiving fun. On the way, going to be hearing from the Joe Rose Show. They're talking to my man, Blue. Larry Bluestein, he knows high school football in this area, backwards, forwards, up, down, and all around. So he's going to give us a scoop on that. The Dan Lebatard Show, talking with my man, George Sedano. He's from Miami. He's currently in New Orleans, which is where I'm born and raised. I've been tweeting him all day, telling him what dive bars on Bourbon Street to go to. He's going to be talking about that. Plus, AD's return to New Orleans. I still love AD. I'm not petty, but I will be watching the game, hoping that the Pelicans murder him and his children, because he'll die so bad that his unborn children will die too. I don't even know what that means, but nonetheless, I'm hoping the Pelicans win big tonight. Then, Hawk and Crowder, they're on vacation, but in their place, my man, Alex Dono and B. Monroe. Got a lot of my mans today, just feeling in that good, thankful mood. They're going to be talking about a food draft and maybe some more stuff about the U. Right now, you can hear the headlines that I'm bringing you. Dolphins receiver Jakeem Grant is now out for the rest of the season due to an ankle injury, while wideout Isaiah Ford returns to the team. Miami plays Philly Sunday at 1. Jimmy Butler says no players talk trash to him because he'll slap them. So expect no trash talk tonight when the Heat play in Houston, tips at 8. Anthony Davis makes his return to New Orleans tonight when he and the league's best Lakers take on the Pelicans at 9:30. Davis played in the Big Easy the past seven seasons. In college basketball ranks, the 27.5-point underdog Stephen F. Austin stunned number one ranked Duke at home last night, defeating them 85-83 in overtime. The U's basketball team on a break until Monday when they play at Illinois. The Canes football team look to rebound from their loss to FIU this Saturday when they head to North Carolina to face Duke. Kickoff is at 3:30. The Panthers are in D.C. taking on the Capitals this evening. Pregame begins here on 560 The Joe at 7. Get your Turkey Day NFL viewing ready. The first game is Lions versus Bears at 12:30, then Cowboys-Bills at 4:30. Finally, the Saints match up against the Falcons with kickoff at 8:20. UEFA Champions League play continues today. Chelsea and Valencia finished 2-2 with American Christian Pulisic scoring a goal. Inter Milan will do battle with Slavia Prague. FC Barcelona battles Dortmund. And Liverpool and Napoli will face off amongst others. And now, let's take a step into the day spa. Florida man was recently arrested for a traffic violation, and when police found a bag of cocaine in his car, he proclaimed it could not have been his and that the wind must have blown it in there. We all live in South Florida and know that this happens. It happens! A South African woman is lucky to be alive after an 18-wheeler T-boned her car with her in it, dragged it for a half a mile, then landed on it. South African lady 4, big truck, let's say 2. Two hikers armed with metal detectors recently found an engagement ring in New Hampshire's mountains. They have taken to Facebook to help find the owner, but no response as of yet. Lost engagement ring? A Netherlands supermarket chain asked workers to send photos of themselves in their underwear so they could use it to test a new sizing app for clothes. Due to public outcry, they have rescinded that request. Hey, I've sent pictures with less on for fun and for free. I don't see what the big deal is. Now on the weather brought to you by Hylia Park. Tonight's forecast calls for no rain with temperatures around 70. Win a brand new $45,000 Mercedes-Benz at Hylia Park Casino. Get free entries every Saturday and earn more entries playing slots every day now through November 30th. Grand prize giveaway Saturday, November 30th. This morning, the Joe Rose Show brought it strong with Blue. Larry Bluestein, this guy is high school football in South Florida. Okay, maybe he's not. He doesn't play, but he knows everything about it. So he discussed with Joe Rose and the guys the Broward-Dade Brawl, ranking high school classics, the decommits to the U, high school picks of the week, and ideas on Lamar Jackson as a high school player.
You win and you go to the finals. So this is a big one for eight teams in Dade and Broward, including one matchup, Deerfield Beach at Columbus. Good morning, Blue. How you doing, buddy?
Great. Yeah, how are you guys this morning? Happy Thanksgiving to both of you. And certainly, what a festive time and what a great time to be a football fan in South Florida.
Hey, all right. You ready to jump into some games? And let's just take a look at some of them and teams you like their chances and the best chances. But let's start with that game I just mentioned, a little Broward-Dade flavor to it. Deerfield Beach at Columbus. We know everybody's playing well, especially if you're still in the big tournament.
Kind of a classic 12 noon start the day after
that.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of gets you in the mood. It kind of helps me a little bit because it'll give me a chance to see two games on Friday. You know how I like that.
And, yeah, I know. You like
it. It's two teams that are, you know, playing, you know, kind of a cliche-ish, but playing, you know, their best football at the end of the season. But for Deerfield, for some reason, this team has just exploded on the scene. Losing two games to start the season to Carroll City and then to nationally rated St. John's of Washington, D.C. And then coming back and putting together a really good stretch before they met St. Thomas, and that was really a good game. It was 7-7 in the fourth quarter, and then St. Thomas pulled away and won a 28-7. But I don't know if there's been a hotter team, a more impressive team than Deerfield Beach in the playoffs. They've averaged 46 points, only given up one touchdown a game, beating a Vero Beach team that has won 64 in a row during the regular season, but can't do it in the playoffs. And they beat them up in a hostile environment last week, and it wasn't even close. And like I said, they're running on all cylinders. I talked to Coach Javon Glenn the other day, and he said this should be our year, and if it should be, because we hear it every year, Joe. Deerfield should be, could be, would be, but this is going to be a tough assignment for Coach Dave Dunn in Columbus. Even though they're at home and it's noon, it's probably taking a lot of the Deerfield fans away from the game, because a lot of people still do work on Friday. So
right.
And you got a Columbus team, like I said, played well. I think their most impressive win. I remember back, when they got the clock run on them against University School and lost to Dillard and didn't look too good. But Dave Dunn has rallied the troops, and it's going to be a tough assignment for him because Deerfield's coming in with all cylinders. I mean, with every place that you look, big team. So Deerfield to me is the team to beat, and we'll see if Columbus could slow down this train.
A lot of really good football players in that game. All right, you saw a classic last week. Darn it, man. That American Heritage Plantation Northwestern game, you've seen some really good ones. Where's that one rank?
Yeah, that's right there. And the great thing is, people were waiting for Heritage to just fade and slide off the map, you know, at the end of that game, and they wouldn't. They took it right down to the wire, and credit Coach Pat Surtain and his staff are doing a great job. And, kind of like they didn't get a lot done on offense throughout the game, and they kind of parlayed the mistakes that Northwestern made. But Northwestern always going to make mistakes. You have to figure that they're going to turn the ball over and they're going to make penalties. So, and if you can capitalize on them, and that's what they did, because for four quarters they battled. And that gives Northwestern, you think Northwestern's going to come out flat against Tampa Jesuit this week because, wow, all their energy was put into last week. And that was a game. You got to remember, that was a game that was 8 months in the making because everybody had talked about that matchup being that one. So, Tampa Jesuit's a good team. They come in, they're well coached. Kenny Kelly's kid plays on the team. Last year they had Larry Hodges, who plays at Miami. From a talent standpoint, they're no match to Northwestern, but from a coaching standpoint, they went in last year, lost only 14-3 to Cardinal Gibbons. So, that's going to be entertaining. Let's see how Northwestern bounced back emotionally because everything was drained last week.
Blue, let's shift gears here a little. Give us the lowdown on what Miami's loss to FIU means on the recruiting scene. We're hearing all sorts of things out there. You're right there. What's going on?
Dave, I don't think it's from the Miami standpoint. Everybody kind of knows the score. They know what's ahead. They know what's on board. They, a lot of the recruits, especially for this 2020 cycle, which pretty much is going to bring in 10 to 12 kids in January. The kids who understand what's going on down there, I don't think it meant a whole lot. Fringe kids who are just, are emotionally emotionally based and knee-jerk reaction guys, you'll lose. And you do that anywhere. You know, I mean, whether it's Miami or Wisconsin or, you know, you lose a big game and kids, I don't want to go there. Well, so they don't understand the purpose. I think for FIU, it's huge. You know, after the game, I'm on the field, you know, and talking to a lot of the coaches, you know, who are rightfully so just overjoyed. And, you know, a couple of the comments that I heard, Blue, I wish we can go right out tonight and recruit. And I don't blame them because what a hot thing to go out and say you beat a Power 5 team. Yeah. So I think for FIU, it's going to be really, really a spike in what they do from getting a couple of kids who may have been leaning somewhere else. You know, they're not going to get a Power 5 kid, and they never would anyway. I don't care who you beat, you know. But from the standpoint of just, you know, going out there and hold your head high and after a season where it's been kind of up and down. Remember, they lost 50 points. The East Tennessee State put 50 points on them, and FAU beat them by 4 touchdowns. So this was really kind of a spike at a time that they needed it.
That's a rough one. Hey, real quickly on all these teams in Dade and Broward, and by the way, they all look to be the names that, they've been there before. Teams with the best chances that you like to win this week. St. Thomas Aquinas, will run through them. How's it look this week?
St. Thomas has a really tough team, even though that Venice has 4 losses. Their 4 losses have been to all major teams. I don't think they have enough offense to beat St. Thomas, but they'll make it close because they have a good defense.
Central.
Central's on the road. They go to Bradenton area, a very good football team, a Palmetto team from over in that area that was actually the number one team with the RPI rankings when the first rankings came out. So they're not going to be a pushover.
Chaminade.
Chaminade wins it. They have Clearwater Central Catholic, who's on a 7-game winning streak, but Chaminade's running on all cylinders, trying to make it 4 state appearances in a row. 3. They want a 3-peat.
How do you feel about Northwestern's chances?
Yeah, they'll win it. I think they start slow. I think they're kind of, you know, I think they're going to have that hangover from last week because that was, like you said, that was a classic.
Champagnat
will go to the state for the 4 straight time. They play a Sefner Christian team that's good. Now on a 10-game winning streak, but their schedule doesn't have anything close to what Champagnat's been through.
All right, and Booker T, man. How do you feeling about Booker T, especially after
Booker T
their
has
win?
A tough assignment. They're going to a place where Lakewood has won 12 straight. Third most players in the NFL right now, including the brothers from UCF that are at Seattle, and certainly Isaiah Wynn. It's a team that has they have a Lamar Jackson type of quarterback right now. The kid's a big-time kid. They had 2 kids that were committed to Miami, who actually 2 kids that decommitted from Miami. But isn't Booker T the success story? Lost Tim Ice Harris right before the season to go to Florida Memorial. They're a co-coach. Has cancer and lost 140 pounds. Rallying point there. Yeah. Defensive line coach had a stroke right before the American game. They lost 5 kids to Northwestern who all played last week. 2 to Gulliver. Let me tell you something. I think Ben Hanks and this team are the team of destiny, and I think they go over and get it done.
Hey, I want to ask you real quickly, because we've had so much talk about another guy here in South Florida, Lamar Jackson. Luke, take me back when he was in high school for everybody, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, who is this guy? Where the hell did he come from and just went to Louisville and tore it up? Where did you have him ranked coming out of high school?
Yeah, he was a top 10 kid. And when he's compared as a junior to Michael Vick, you know, you kind of figured that there was going to be something special brewing. I mean, he did so much. I watched him live 3 times. Coconut Creek game, I still remember, was like 52-51. I mean, he would never stop. I mean, just when they were down, I mean, he was a magician. And the thing that I always shook my head is when everybody, whether it was him going to Louisville or him going to the Ravens, but he's not a quarterback, he's a receiver. Yeah, well, he's not. He's pretty darn special, and he's always been that way. Just a great football player, and he makes things happen. As
a
we three saw
star
against,
or four star guy, Blue.
He was a 4-star kid.
Oh, okay.
And mainly because he was at Boynton Beach. If he was at St. Thomas or one of those other schools, he'd be a 5-star, no problem. But he lacked that exposure because, you know, he was with a program that didn't get all the accolades and all the attention. But big-time kid, guys, I mean, you can't hide somebody like that. You know, as my dad used to say, is that we'll take the worst player and put him in right field. Well, there's no hiding that guy because he was pretty special.
I remember talking to Lamar Thomas, a former Kane receiver who was recruiting for Louisville, and recruited Lamar Thomas, who said it was so late in the period and no one had signed him that when he took in the tape to Bobby Petrino, Petrino said, oh, this guy can't be any good because all the good players are gone now. Why was he so lightly recruited out of high school?
Well, I just think because of the competition he played, and I don't think anybody, you know how it is when sometimes, Dave, when you play lesser programs and you get it done, they go, well, you know, it's against that team or it's against that team. And yeah, sure, he's this and sure, he's that. But if you really know football and you could see what he did, just his mechanics and just how he improvised and made every game look like he was a giant and everybody else was that little kid, then you understand that there was no getting around the fact that he was going to be special.
Blue, you didn't think he was going to be this good. He's the best player.
No, well, who did? You know, I mean, did I? You know, there's a lot of guys that you never think.
Hey, Blue.
But you knew he was
I love you.
The Ravens didn't know he was going to be this good. They wouldn't have taken him 30 seconds.
Even Ozzie's going, damn, I didn't know he was going to be this good when we got him.
Yeah.
Hey, Blue, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good holiday. Thanks so much.
Care. All right, Larry Bluestein, our high school football insider, joins a little bit. Four-star. Lamar Jackson,
four-star.
All right.
Larry Bluestein, that guy knows high school football. You can listen to him talk forever, and you can hear him join the Joe Rose Show periodically here and there, usually on Football Fridays. Joe Rose Show, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Joe Rose out the rest of the week because he's just that guy. He's got some Thanksgiving to get to. Dan Lebatard talking with George Sedano, who used to work at this very radio station. George Sedano in my old city, New Orleans, living it up and getting ready for AD's return to the Big Easy. Going to be a blowout tonight. You know I'm going to be screaming at the top of my lungs throughout the whole evening. And up next, Dan Lebatard and the guy's going to be screaming it up with George Sedano. It's the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome. This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I'm Dan Day. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Dan Day Radio. You can step into the day spa, get some dive bar hints and tips on where to go whenever you're in any town, because I live at the dive bars, and just a whole lot of other fun. So check that out. And be sure to check out Dan Lebatard and the guys. They are on weekdays from 10 to 1 right here on 560 The Joe. Earlier today, they caught up with an alum of this radio station, George Sedano. George Sedano, he is in the Big Easy. So I've been tweeting him all day at Sedano, telling him what dive bars to go to in NOLA. But right here, Dan Lebatard and the guys rocking with George Sedano, talking about New Orleans Bourbon Street wins. He was at Aaron Rose. I love that coffee daiquiri that they have. NOLA reaction to AD. It's going to be nasty tonight. LeBron and AD's chemistry, 76ers to the finals, and Boogie's block party here in Miami.
Either way, George Sedano is joining us live right now from New Orleans. George, this is very exciting. You realize that Thanksgiving Eve is like one of the nation's biggest party days, and you are in one of the nation's biggest party cities. Have you already hit up Bourbon Street, and how many hand grenades have you had?
It's funny. I thought it was pretty tame last night. I expected way more people out in the streets, and it was pretty dead last night. I went to Bourbon Street for a little bit. We ended up at some dive bar called the Aaron Rose, which has the signature drink that they do like a frozen Irish coffee, like almost like something like you'd get at like Wet Willie's or Fat Tuesdays, which was pretty delicious. But it was pretty tame last night. I was almost disappointed. But tonight, my guess will be pretty wild, maybe, you know, certainly at the game and probably after the fact.
So 7 hand grenades followed by a few hurricanes at Pat O'Brien's. Good to know. Those drinks will sneak up on you. You have to hit them. Like, you don't realize, because I guess the grenadine, you don't realize what's hitting you until well after the fact. Yeah. The first time I went to New Orleans, I was crawling on the floor by like 7:30. I was not prepared. What kind of reaction? I think it's pretty obvious, but what kind of reaction is Anthony Davis facing today? And is this going to be sustained throughout the game?
Well, I talked to Stan Verrett, who's from New Orleans, right? And he's this late-night Sports Center anchor with Neil Everett, who those guys love your show. Obviously, they make reference to your show all the time when they're doing their Sports Center highlights. But he's from here, and he says, look, man, expect to put earplugs on. Like, I've come here. I'm gonna take you inside of the velvet rope here when it comes to broadcasting. So when I do these games, right, I have what they call an IFB, an earpiece, and it's usually just one ear. I was told expect to go with the double earpiece today because it's going to be that loud, and they're going to be booing him the whole time. Stan told me that when Baron Davis left and eventually came back, now because of the I'm trying to remember the exact moves that he made. But anyway, he was traded to another team or went to another team but didn't come back here for 5 years. And then when he came back 5 years later, they boot him on every possession. So needless to say, Anthony Davis, who hasn't been gone for 5 years, will get booed because he got booed the last 7 or 8 times he actually played as a Pelican. So it's not going to be nice for him.
Well, that's sort of what Kyrie Irving does. I read somewhere that he hasn't played in Cleveland since like 2017. Kyrie Irving was, everyone was excited for Nets at Boston. Tonight, a whole slate of programming was just dedicated to superstars getting booed. At least we'll get that payoff with you. But I think Kyrie Irving just goes out of his way to avoid these sort of situations. I want to transition a little bit to the other team in Los Angeles, because it seems as though you can't really talk about the Lakers without talking about their direct competition in town. Was really impressed with the Clippers last night. The Mavericks came in riding high. Everyone was talking about Luka Doncic, and you saw the gulf that is between those two teams. One of the things that stuck out to me is Kristaps Porzingis. I know there's rust. I know he's essentially hadn't played basketball for close to two full seasons. He's got a weird body type, and that's a difficult injury to bounce back from. But at what point do we start getting concerned that we're not going to see the same Kristaps Porzingis?
Man, I think we have a situation kind of like what we saw with Gordon Hayward in a lot of ways, where he just didn't look right. He didn't feel right. His body wasn't right. Everything just felt wrong for him. I think that you have to give him at least one full season. If he goes into this next year, then you really need to start to worry. But let's face it, Mike, it wasn't like he was a guy who was initiating contact previously when he was playing with 100% health. He wasn't a guy that was, you know, trying to intimidate people, trying to force his will on teams. That wasn't him. He had a more of a finesse game anyway.
Yeah, I get a little frustrated watching him because he obviously has this crazy size, and you'd think he'd be able to grab every board, but that's not really his game. And because Luka is one of their better rebounders, but he's usually out on the perimeter because he's initiating so much offense, they're requiring Kristaps Porzingis to really try to eat glass, and that's not his game at all. Pivoting now to LeBron James's season, because Luka's discussed as an MVP candidate, but LeBron James seems to be the clear front runner at this point. Can you talk about the natural fit that is Anthony Davis and LeBron James and what it's meant for LeBron's career?
I am glad that you brought up that Kristaps Porzingis is not a glass eater. I do think that that is an important distinction.
Someone's got to play the Sugats role today.
He also can't grow actual rust, too. That'd be cool if humans rusted.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Does it hurt you to see LeBron play this well still, or are you beyond all that?
Dude, I'm Team Petty forever. Team Petty forever. When they come down here in December, I'll do the thing where I'll boo initially in the intros, and then I'll lighten up and make them know
still?
That hey,
with hey, LeBron?
Yeah, man.
Dude, get over
I'm
it.
I'm Team Petty
forever.
I've
been forever. Over it for a while.
I know Sedano's been over it because he's essentially turned his back on the Miami Heat organization and become full
that's
LA guy.
Not true. Wow.
Yeah, he is hated now by Heat Twitter.
That is not true. They hate me because I keep saying the Sixers are going to the finals, and then, of course, the Sixers drubbed the Heat, and nobody said anything to me that day.
George, back end of a back-to-back, back end of a back-to-back on the road. Come on, 3 of the Heat's 4 losses have come via the same fashion.
See that Heat ball movement?
The Sixers also had a back-to-back in that situation.
Home and home. It's totally different than being in Chicago,
in
hopping on a
beds.
Bird.
I think he's
going
jumped,
to Philly.
I think he's jumped off the Lakers because I saw him with a Clippers jersey the other day.
They sent you the city edition, which are pretty cool. Yeah. So you Clippers guy now?
But the Heat are also sending me the Vice jersey too.
Man, they're sending
just, this guy just roots for anyone that'll send them.
Did
stuff,
you go rookie like. Move and put but, a Sedano but, on the back of it, or did you go another jersey?
They just sent it to me with Sedano. Like last time when they had the other Vice jerseys, the black ones, they sent me the one and it said Sedano in the back. But Mikey, I'm actually coming to Miami. The jump and is going to do a Heat All Access day. I'm coming to Miami. Rachel has invited me, so I'm going to be there the day of the Laker game. We're going to do a big blowout for the Heat on that day.
I know, and a little birdie told me that you're not sticking around for the Moss Miami party the next day. Very disappointed in you. What does this mean for LeBron James, Anthony Davis? Okay. Answer the question, NBA insider.
Oh, sorry, but I'll tell you why I'm not. I'll tell you why I can't stay for Moss Miami later. It is the most natural fit that he's had with any player. As great as Dwayne Wade is, and I think Dwayne Wade is the most accomplished and best player that LeBron James has ever played with, Anthony Davis just fits better. It's just like when LeBron used to play with just Chris Bosh. Like if Dwayne missed the game, those two guys fit really well. Now imagine if Chris Bosh was even more athletic than he already was. It just changes the dynamic with the way LeBron gets to play. And here's the thing. They've yet to even scratch the surface on their pick and roll game, which is what everybody thought they were just going to do to dominate teams. So there's still more left kind of in the arsenal for them to kind of put out there to really potentially dominate on offense.
Jorge Sedano with us. He's going to be on the sideline tonight. Lakers at Pelicans, 9:30 on ESPN. George, how can we infiltrate this broadcast, our show? We're thinking here, maybe we get you to say, it's George Sedano rocking with you on a Wednesday. Here, I'm here with Coach blah, blah, blah. Say the coach's name.
Don't say blah, blah, blah. Or if you want to say Coach blah, 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 that'll work too.
No, Coach blah, blah, blah will definitely not work. I may be able to sneak in rocking with you. I got to run.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. The shipping container always rocks with you on a Wednesday.
Happy Turkey Day Eve?
No, that's not really related. No. Because I don't think it would be the first time in recorded history anyone's done a sideline interview starting with George Sedano rocking with you on a Wednesday.
You just got to do it really quick, George. Like, don't even make it like it's a thing. Have it be natural. If you're natural, the coach will think it's your thing.
When I do these interviews, they're sponsored at the top. So I got to do all the sponsorship stuff. And I only have a finite amount of time to get this thing done because we tape them in the timeout. And we only have 2 minutes. And the coach still has to come to me while after he's done drawing up a play. So there's really not a lot of time in that particular instance to do something.
Oh.
Now, there are reports within the broadcast that maybe I could sneak something in. But even then, it would have to kind of fit right.
Okay. All right. But don't talk to me about time limits because I just timed myself rocking with you on a Wednesday and it took less than 2 seconds. Yeah. I don't want to hear George Sedano.
But rocking with you on a Wednesday after I'm reading a State Farm read or NBA 2K20 isn't necessarily seamless.
No, it's very simple.
It's a normal
George Sedano rocking with you on a Wednesday. Duracell, proud sponsor of batteries and NBA whatever.
Or even coming out of it. All right, we're rocking with you on a Wednesday. Coach LeBron James here next to me. All right, you're going to hit up Bourbon Street.
I'll promise you
after the game you hit up Bourbon Street the way that you hit a Boogies here in South Miami because it's a very important night, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
I do miss Turkey Day Eve, man. I was actually, you know, telling stories about those Wednesday nights before Thanksgiving
The Boogies block party. Everyone knows. It's a time-honored tradition. If you want to fly into Miami, I'll see you at Space, bro. I got you.
Anytime you talk Miami, New Orleans, partying, basketball, those four things just get me tingling. George Sedano, rocking with George Sedano and Dan Lebatard. Up next, we're going to rock with the Hawkman and Crowder show, except Hawk and Crowder aren't going to be there. Instead, it's Alex Dono and B. Monroe. The U is strong there, but will the U grow stronger? We'll find out next on the Best of the Joe Show. Here we go with the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Once again, happy Thanksgiving Eve. I am Dan Day. Rocking you, not taking a break. No holidays here because we're just having fun. Hawk and Crowder, they got to be having fun. I think Hawk is over in Las Vegas celebrating his 50th birthday, celebrating Thanksgiving. His child has off from school. Whoo, sounds like a whole lot of fun. Crowder is probably about 8 hop guns deep. He loves that funky Buddha. Can't blame him on that. Filling in for him, Alex Dono. That's one of my men right there. B. Monroe, he played at the U. Alex Dono, he graduated from the U, so the U is strong. So what do they talk about? Well, they started things off with a food draft, because after all, Turkey Day Eve. Still kind of embarrassed about the U versus FIU, and Alejandro Solana gives you headlines and the worst weather you've ever heard.
Yes! Oh, it is.
It is!
Alex Dono and Brian Monroe filling in for Hockey Crowder today. What's up, Brian?
How you doing?
I mean, I'm still, I'm not going to say I'm doing great because we're, 4 days removed from the most embarrassing loss in Miami Hurricanes program history. I got Alex Solana pissing people off on Twitter. But how are you doing, sir? How are you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm about to get fat tomorrow. I love it, man. I don't know what the weekend's been gone. I don't know about you. That junk's been gone.
I don't know, man. It takes me a while to get over this stuff. It is the eve of Thanksgiving, as you mentioned, and we are going to bring back what used to be a tradition back when I used to be on evenings over on the Joe when it was WQAM. It still is WQAM, and now it's also the Joe. We're going to have a Thanksgiving food draft today. Your boy Beeson has the number one overall pick.
He's got the number one pick.
Everything available for the Thanksgiving Day food draft, from turkey, which I think doesn't even get a first round grade.
There's no way that can get a first round grade.
Some people still, and they talk about how, you've got to cook it a certain way, you got to deep fry it. If you have to do that much to doctor up a turkey, it doesn't get a first round grade in my book.
Well, I'll say this, though. That deep fried turkey
It is the best form of turkey.
Sweet baby Jesus. Oh, my God. Talk about delicious. Man, but I don't want you burning down your houses out there. You know what I'm saying?
That's my thing.
So do it outside.
I'm horrified to try to deep fry a turkey.
What? Oh, you mean to cook it?
To cook it. No, I've eaten it. But I'm horrified to try cooking one myself because I don't want to be one of those idiots that has an exploding deep fryer. And even if the house doesn't burn down, if I do it outside, I might burn down the backyard or I might burn myself. Like, I'm afraid because when you see those stories about the Florida man who, you know, wrecks his neighborhood trying to deep fry the turkey, I'm just so afraid I'm going to be that guy. I know my limitations, and trying something that difficult, I think, is beyond me. I'm gonna cook it the old-fashioned way.
Well, you know, with this Popeye's crazy chicken sandwich crave, they did do a deep-fried turkey for people that wanted it from Popeye's.
I mean, is anybody dying over the turkey sandwich the way they're dying over the chicken sandwich there?
I mean, if the next thing is the crave of the deep-fried turkeys, it's got to be good if that chicken sandwich went that nuts. I never tried that stupid chicken sandwich. I'm not going to do it either.
I don't want to wait in line for
an hour. No, man, it's a chicken sandwich. Come on.
How good could it possibly be? Is it really that much better than Chick-fil-A that I got to wait an hour and a half for that sandwich versus waiting 11 minutes for the Chick-fil-A sandwich?
What about in like a year, though? Once the craze has kind of died down and, you know, you just pass by a Popeye's.
Because
that's my strategy. I'll just wait a couple months. The craze will die down eventually. There will be something new.
It's like when people like movies. They're like, oh, I can't wait to go opening night. I'm like, I am never going to an opening a movie if it's big time so people can be talking in there and I got to cuss somebody out.
See, like, I'm the same way, but my wife is the type that she's got to see it like the second it comes out. I get dragged every time one of those stupid Avengers movies comes out, and they're not that terrible, but I get so annoyed. She gets like the tickets a month in advance to go to like the midnight screening on the Thursday, even though you have a ticket and an assigned seat. You got to wait outside the theater for an hour and a half because everybody's there. I've done that so many times, and I hate it every time. I hate crowds. I hate chaos. And every time one of those superhero movies comes out, I've always got the first ticket to see it with my wife, and I wish we could have just waited a month until the crowds died down.
Maybe that's why I'm single and I'm not married, because I'm not compromising on that. I know, happy wife, happy life, but not this guy. No way.
Oh, man. So Brian Monroe says he's over what FIU did to Miami. A couple things I want to throw out there on that, okay? This is a pretty ugly stat, Brian, for the Canes. Miami became the first team in 40 years to lose three times in a season when they were favored by 14 points or more, including to ESPN College Game Day after being favored by 21 over FIU. They also narrowly won 17-12 over Central Michigan as 30-point favorites. But the one that gets to me, and I talked about this with Crowder yesterday, I know it's been talked about a lot on this radio station, on our sister station, and because you played at Miami, okay? And you understand what it's like to go through a season, you understand motivation, you understand what it means to win on the Green Tree practice field. How do you explain being 0-3 coming out of bye week and having arguably your three out of your five losses, your three worst performances of the year came when you had an extra week to prepare and an extra week to get your bodies healthier? Like, how does Miami always come out and lay an egg? Thank God there's no more bye weeks.
Oh my God.
Well, at least you're going to have like 4 weeks off before a bowl game.
Yeah, great.
But how does Miami look so bad coming off a bye every single time?
Can 2020 we have no bye weeks? Like, you know, I remember in 2017 when we
have the bye weeks will be the first.
That's
three,
it.
Have the first 3 weeks of the season. Just
That's
start
it.
The season late and play all the way through.
That's it. Like, I remember 2017 when we had the hurricane and we had no byes and everyone was like, yo, it's not fair, the whole nine yards. I wish this team had no byes.
Yeah.
But again, you can't explain it. You have no idea what is going on. The only thing I can say, this is on the coaching, right? This is on the coaches, because you have to be able to figure out, how do I motivate this team? Every team's different. Every kid's different. How do I motivate this team? Okay, you get a mulligan. You came out against North Carolina, flat. Boom, that's your mulligan. Yeah. You came out against Central Michigan, flat, and played flat the whole game. And then you gave us the excuse of, oh, we got cocky and arrogant. You got cocky and arrogant off of what? Beating Bethune-Cookman? Are you kidding me?
Well, they threw out cocky and arrogant again after
the FIU
loss.
That's the thing that pissed me off, because here's the thing. You're a four-loss team. There's nothing that you should be cocky or arrogant about at all. You should be embarrassed with yourself as far as what you guys expect at the beginning of the season, what some of these seniors came back for. You didn't come back for it to be 8-4. You came back to win the Coastal, compete with Clemson, and try to make it into a big bowl game. So the whole cocky and arrogant statement, I still did not understand, because you will start off the season 0-2. I know when I hate to be that guy, oh, you old guys, whatever. But I remember when we lost one game, when we had a team meeting, just the guys, what it was like. It was crazy.
That was after Tennessee in 03.
It was after Tennessee in 03. And this team started 0-2 and beats Bethune-Cookman. And we're talking about cocky and arrogance as an excuse. To me, that lays completely on the coaching staff because you are letting your team get cocky and arrogant when you should be laying into them the whole time.
You know, something that's kind of troubling is you keep hearing this talk, and I believe it because you kind of sensed it with the way these guys came out and played this past Saturday, that when you bring up the word arrogant, that there's an arrogance that comes from players who wear that uniform, wear those colors, wear that U on their helmet, that there's an arrogance because of the excellence that automatically used to come with that program. But the problem is, like, you look back at some of the best Miami teams in history, right? I'm thinking 87, I'm thinking 2001, and like those players played with a chip on their shoulder every single game. So it's not like the 87 Canes, if they had played FIU, FIU didn't have a football program at that time, but if that were the 87 Canes playing this past Saturday, and now I sound like the guy living in the past, by the way, they would have gone out there and taken pride in putting 70 points that team, right? They wouldn't have taken their foot off the gas thinking, yeah, we're buying our hype because we just won three straight games. We're good. These guys shouldn't be on the same field with us. Yeah, they might have felt like those guys shouldn't have been on the same field with them, but they would have reminded them every single play and gone for the jugular on every single play. So I don't know. Like, arrogance is one thing, but I don't know with this group where the sense of entitlement comes from.
I have no idea.
Because I think that's the more important. Throw the word arrogant just completely out of the equation here. Entitled is what it is. Like, I don't know why this group, like you said, who started on a two-game losing streak to start this, I don't know why this group would feel entitled to victories just for showing up.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, everybody knows that the University of Miami has one of the best brotherhood and fraternities of all the college, you know, football teams out there. And that's a great thing because you have resources that many people don't have, where you're talking to an All-American, a first-rounder, a Pro Bowler. But these guys aren't saying to these young men like, oh yeah, you wear the U now, so now you're good. No, they tell them what it means to what it takes to be great, right? These young men say, hey, how do I become a first rounder? How do I be great? Hard work, film, don't take anybody for lightly. So that's where I don't get it, because I've heard some of the great players talk to these young guys and you hear them and it's all about what you have to do to be great, and it's about the hard work that you put in, and you just don't see it. Like, we say it all the time, the hardest working dude pretty much on offense just got here a year ago, and that's KJ Osborne. KJ, you know, his work ethic to desire to be great is what you normally would see in a Miami Hurricanes team, not the, oh, I'm here, I made it. No, KJ said, first time I've ever met him on his official visit, I can't wait to work. I was like, oh my God.
I just hope these guys make Duke pay. If I'm a Duke Blue Devil, I'm looking at what happened to Miami this past week, and hopefully they're thinking, this is the worst possible case scenario for us, because you can't take Duke lightly after this, right?
You would assume that.
You would assume not.
We shouldn't have taken anybody lightly after a 5-point victory against Central Michigan?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And then, by the way, this is Duke's bowl game.
It is,
This is what this team has to remember, and I hope the coaching staff reminds them, you are going to see everything from Cutcliffe. He's going to run trick plays. He's going to do some onside stuff. He's going to do anything in his playbook, because they are not going to a bowl. This is their senior night. This is their bowl game. So expect the unexpected when they go play Duke this weekend.
Let's get some headlines from Alejandro Solana.
The Miami Heat are in Houston tonight, 8 p.m. tip-off. Jimmy Butler is out. It looks like he has that same sickness that Goron had a couple days ago. But Justice Winslow is available tonight. He returns from that concussion he suffered in Denver about over 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that kept him out a super long time. We're going to, by the way, talk with Chris Fisher from NBC6. We'll have 15 minutes of Heat with Chris coming up a little bit later on this hour, but I'm a little bit worried. I mean, not that I wouldn't have been worried about playing in Houston anyway, but I'm a little bit extra worried knowing that Biscayne Buckets will not play tonight, because I think with, as far as Justice Winslow goes, available, but I think it's going to take some time to limited. He's not just going to be back out there starting in Justice Winslow form of a month ago. I think it's going to take him some time.
Who let Sam Darnold into the Heat's locker room? I mean, come on. Let's be for real. This sickness has been going around. How does Jimmy get sick now, too?
Did you hear about Darnold partying after that game?
Yeah, like, I'm like, what are you making this a headline for? He's a 22-year-old man. He's rich. He just won a game. Of course he's going to make out with a chick and get drunk.
But you can see how that's the 22-year-old who goes out and gets mono when that's the way he celebrates a game.
Man, listen, we could all go back to when we were 22 and see what we did. Now, I didn't drink at 22, but if I did, I probably would have had 3 kids by now.
What else you got, Solana?
The Florida Panthers are back on the ice tonight. They're in Washington to take on the Capitals. 7 p.m. puck drop on our sister station, the Joe WQAM.
Yeah, I mean, the Cats are are in okay position because they had a really solid month of October, first couple games in November, but coming off of two straight losses, we need a bounce back tonight. We need a victory. And Doug Plagans is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, who's calling the game tonight. And Doug is going to be a part of our Thanksgiving draft.
Oh, I'd love some food.
He's a foodie. I know Doug pretty well, and I don't think he's a big fan of the traditional Thanksgiving food.
Good.
So he may take something kind of off the wall, so I'm looking forward to that.
Perfect.
We have Champions League action coming up in an hour. There's actually Champions League action going on right now. I know Valencia's playing Chelsea. I'm not sure what the score of that game is, though, but I do
know. I saw Valencia was up 1-0 earlier. I don't know if they still are.
At 3 p.m., you have Barcelona versus Borussia Dortmund, Liverpool versus Napoli, and the very anticipated matchup on today's show, Inter Milan on the road versus Slavia Prague.
Yeah, Inter's midfield is in really bad shape today. We got like a 50-year-old basically playing central midfield for us, Borja Valero. He's like twice as old as me. I'm a little bit worried about
yeah,
you
might
outcome.
Be worried. Chelsea is up 2-1 right now, and the American Pulisic scored in the 50th minute.
How about that? USA Soccer. He's our one good player.
Yeah, he's our one good player. Stay over in Europe. Do not come back to MLS, please.
Definitely. Not till you're 50.
Not till you're 50.
I want to give out our draft order for today's Thanksgiving Food Day draft. We have first overall pick at 235. It's going to be John Beeson.
Yes.
At 335, Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald. At 435, Tito Benach, former WQAM employee. He has the worst food takes of all time.
But hold on. There's more background on that because Tito Benach created the food draft concept.
Did he really?
Yeah, I think it was like a year and a half ago.
Appetizer draft, right?
It was the appetizer draft. He came up with the idea because he's always got these food takes.
Okay.
And he came up with the idea. He was producing for me on evenings back in the day, and he decided, like, let's get, like, sports journalists and other hosts on the station on to pick, a food draft. We had an appetizer draft. It was very controversial because a lot of the picks were garbage, but very popular. Ooh. So we've been doing food drafts ever since.
I went quesadillas. I think I was third overall. Quesadillas with my appetizer
massive
pick.
Massive reach.
I mean, how?
Quesadillas as
solid.
As a top three?
It's an entree also.
Solid. It's not really an entree.
That's weak.
It's not an entree.
That's
and
weak.
And our fourth overall pick to end the show, 535, it'll be Doug Plagans. And finally, guys, Russian farmers gave cows virtual reality goggles to reduce anxiety and increase milk production.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's not a terrible idea because they always people watch these documentaries about how like awful factory farming is. It's like I don't watch these documentaries because I love meat so much that I don't want to feel guilty about the meat that
me
I
either.
Eat. Because I can never go vegan. I know that. So the last thing I want is to be a self-hating meat eater. So I don't watch any of these documentaries. But I hear about how stressed out these cows get on these farms and the factory farms. If we could just put like an Oculus Rift goggle on all these cows and make them. Isn't this the Matrix? Like, isn't this what the Matrix
Straight
was?
Up.
They were using human beings as batteries. They would plug them into virtual reality. They lived in the Matrix. They had no idea. They were just, their energy was being drained to be a battery for the machines. Maybe if we make cows live that way, they'll have a better life.
Maybe that's why Kobe beef is so expensive, because they're not stressed and they're getting their muscles
massaged
by milk and everything like that.
God, I wish I lived that way.
I'm telling you, man. Just like Peter trying to come after Uga. I'm like, yo, did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Did you see that, Solana?
Yeah, I did.
Like,
Oh, yeah, the Georgia mascot.
Are you kidding me?
Ridiculous.
And then one of the dudes showed the video of his life, and I'm like, I will change right now with his life than my life right now.
Really quickly, let me get weather in, because I know everybody's dying to know my weather report. 81 degrees, partly cloudy in South Florida right now. Tonight, the low will drop to 67.
Yes.
Wind moving east, 7 miles per hour.
That is how you do it on Thanksgiving Eve. Get your drinks in. Don't eat anything tonight. Then gorge yourself tomorrow. Cheer on the Pelicans as they will defeat the Lakers at home. Anthony Davis's return to the Big Easy. Hopefully they catch the New Orleans flu, kind of like the Miami flu, but just in a different location. I'm going to be yelling at On the Rocks Bar down in North Beach in Miami. That's my neighborhood bar. Going to be cheering on. If you want to come by, I'll be the guy at the bar yelling, screaming, cheering for the Pelicans. I don't know how many of those there are going to be, but I'll buy you a drink. Maybe you buy me a shot. And we'll take the rest of the night as it is. If you want to download the podcast for this show or any of the shows you hear on this radio station, absolutely free. Go to WQAM.com. You can also simply go to wherever you get your podcast for absolutely free, or the radio.com app. And while you're playing around on the interweb, give me a follow on Twitter at Dan Day Radio. Once again, eat it up, cheer it up, live it up.
Be thankful. I am thankful that you have spent your time with me, and I am thankful that hopefully in the future we will spend more time right here from 6 to 7, 560 The Joe. This is the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.